Hey, it's the podcast guy.
Suddenly, I talked on podcast. It's the Suddenly Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Sutton United Talk Time on podcast. I'm fairly convinced we're not live, so I won't bother going with all the we're going live on so-and-so. But you can reach out on any of the social medias at Sutton Podcast. I think that's now my YouTube handle as well, which is amazing. Don't know how I managed to do that, but hey, I have. Joining me today is Steve. Hello, Steve. How are you?
All right, yeah, good, thanks. Nice and warm out here in the Middle East.
All right, cheers for that. Thanks. I'm freezing. And Gabriel, how are you, Gabriel? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you both, especially as I've been very disorganized this week and I didn't send out my usual confirmation email until just asking, can I move it till six? And everyone was like, are we on? So thank you both for jumping on. It was very kind of you. It was my daughter's 18th, so I'm using that as an excuse, probably for the next 20 years, but I'll use that as my excuse. I wasn't at the match last night either, obviously. Steve, you weren't. Were you there in person or watching on telly as well, Gabriel?
No, I watched it on iFollow.
We watched it all on iFollow. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. So at least we got the benefit of some replays. What were we feeling going into the game, sort of ahead of it? How did we think that we were going to go?
You looked at the lineup and you basically looked at Wimbledon's team and it was basically their reserves. Whereas we'd gone strong, I guess we don't have a huge sort of amount of depth in the squad at the moment with all the injuries, so you kind of limited in terms of what we could do. But the only difference was obviously Kendall up front and Hart at left back, and other than that, it was basically our first 11. So I think you go into a game like that with the sort of thinking, well, okay, as long as the attitude's fine, then against Wimbledon second string, and bear in mind it's what, 6 weeks since we beat their first choice side, mm-hmm. on the same ground, then I think you got to be optimistic. So yeah, you go into it with that thought and hope it kind of goes that way. Yes.
Yeah. And Gabriel, what was your thoughts going into the game?
Well, if we brought up the last game there, we must notice that since then they haven't lost any games. They had like 5 or 6 wins and 1 draw in the championship, in the league. So they were in pretty good shape. Indeed, they were having the second team basically on the field, and we had our best besides Kendall, okay. I was worried because, you know, since the new AFC Wimbledon has been reborn, Sutton beat them in every official game so far. There was the FA Cup in 2016, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was played in December, probably.
Yeah, we drew and beat them then.
Yeah, and then the AFL Cup last year at Gander Green Lane, and now the league game at there. So you cannot just beat them every time. They will not stand for it.
That's what I had when a lot of people were saying beforehand about, well, we've beaten them in lots of other games. I'm like, that's the only thing I can think that they're going to be using as a come on.
Yeah,
you've got to beat Sutton. I mean, you mentioned some of the changes, but for Matt, that's wholesale changes, three changes from the previous team. That's proper mixing it up a little bit for what we've got. They made 10 changes. I don't think we had 10 fit players that we could have picked differently in any positions. I don't think we could have managed to put 10 different players out. Even if we played five up front, I think we would have struggled. But yeah, I mean, I think Matt said it himself in the interview. It was huff and puff. But I know I'm an optimist. But I did feel like we were looking on top and we just needed to put the ball in the net. Brilliant clearance from Donovan. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it was just infuriating, wasn't it? But
yeah.
What can you do? I mean, we just didn't get the ball into the box enough. Yeah. Ball just ended up in the sky far too often. And I mean, when they've got a 6'9" giant and who's winning everything, that's kind of how everything falls. And we weren't able to win an awful lot against him, even though they didn't create anything. I thought they were very poor, but they took the one chance they had.
Yeah, I think it looked like Josh just got himself a little bit confused or out of position. For their goal, and he didn't go to the man. He sort of held back a little bit, but again, it's these goals. There's always something that happens. I mean, every game would be 0-0 if everyone played defensively perfectly. But once they scored, yeah, they didn't offer anything, as you said.
Has Mike disappeared?
No, Mike's here. Hello. Oh, this is going to be marvellous. Gabriel, can you still hear me?
Sorry, yeah.
Can you still hear me? Yeah. So yes. they weren't. Yeah, they didn't seem to offer an awful lot since they took the lead.
Yeah, they scored from their only chance. Neville had a slip. That's what it felt for me. That he slipped a bit, so he was left behind. And also, their striker was completely free in our area, in the middle of our area. But besides mm-hmm. that, they didn't create anything. Like at the very end, when they had Asal in, I thought they will do something, but even Asal didn't create.
Yeah. Okay. So this is going to be interesting because Steve can't see or hear me at all now, but he can hear you. So
okay.
we may have a three-way strange conversation. I mean, it's difficult, but there was just too many overhit crosses going into the box, and we were sort of relying on hitting the cross deep and then heading it back across goal. Were you kind of feeling that as well, or?
Yeah, and what we've noticed probably all of us in the last few games is that Josh Neville, who started very well, has quite a bad period of form, and he's creating less and less danger. He, for the first time, he made also this defensive mistake that cost us. And I think this is very worrying, because now we're relying only on Randall to create something, and that makes us very, very easy to read for the opposition.
Yeah. So I'm just going to ask Steve his thoughts on creative play. There we go. We have to type it on now. One second, because Steve can't hear me, so I'm just going to ask him his thoughts on creative players. Oh, he's gone off. Okay, so Steve may well come back in a sec. But, I mean, where is the answer? We've got players these players have got us promotion, they've got us last year, but it's just not clicking at the moment. I know you've said before you're not convinced about the recruitment, but the current squad of players, essentially the people who got us here, so what's happening? I mean, everyone talks about second season syndrome, and we dismissed it at the start of the season, but is that a thing? Have clubs found us out? I don't know if you can hear us, Steve, still?
Yes, I'm back again. Sorry.
Okay, excellent. So I was just saying, what do we think the problem or answer is? Even better, the players got us promoted. They did really well last year, and yet we seem to be just firing blanks this year.
I mean, I think partly is we're a known quantity now. People have got an entire season's worth of videotape on how we set up. I think we've made subtle changes this year to try and be a little bit more sort of progressive. I mean, I mentioned when I was on last time after the Oxford game, I think it was, when that we're sort of having a lot more possession this season. Mm-hmm. And it was just a case of we need to turn that extra possession into extra chances. Because actually, while we're having more of the ball, we're actually putting fewer chances at the feet or head of our attacking players. But I think, I mean, ultimately, we've got Ajiboy leaving is obviously a big hole. Nerfil has been sort of in and out in terms of productivity. He's had little flashes where he's had two or three games where he's looked excellent, and he's now in the middle of one of those little runs where it's not quite working for him. Fairly poor on Saturday, I thought, but Randall's been good this season, so it's kind of been balanced out. We've not lacked creativity completely from the flanks, but also having so many defenders out, it just naturally makes the team more nervous, I think. Mm-hmm. So there's a natural sort of level of caution to our play. So I mean, one thing that was particularly evident last night was just whenever the ball, whenever we like headed a clearance away from Wimbledon cross, like fairly unthreatening area, and the ball was falling to either of our central midfielders, sort of 10 yards or so outside the area, nobody was telling them that they had 20 yards of space, in which case the time in which they could chest the ball down, bring it down, get it under control, and look to do something productive with it. So instead, all they were doing was hooking the ball up in the air and up to the halfway line, where the ball was just coming straight back at us. And teams know that if we're not, and I mean, this applies to any team, if your kind of attacking output is so limited as it is for us at the moment, then teams know that they can step up 10 yards further up the pitch. And that gives them an instant advantage in that when they do inevitably get the ball back, it's a lot closer for them to get towards our goal, and they don't have to exert themselves quite so much in terms of winning the ball back. So that's just the immediate problem, and something that, I mean, Matt's got to find a solution somehow, and it's probably got to involve something other than miraculously getting players fit, because I'm not sure how far away these players are. I mean, I saw a photo the other day of Ben Goodliffe posting that he was back wearing football boots. So I assume he's back in some sort of training, but I can't imagine he's in full contact training yet or anytime soon either.
He's on, I think they describe it as straight line running on grass. I'm not overly sure. But he said he was hoping for, the time frame he gave was just about Christmas.
Okay.
I kind of frowned at him and was like, surely you will extend that by a week so you can have your Christmas and then worry about it. But he's sort of looking at Christmas. And I think Matt said in his last interview, Ali and Harry are a little bit earlier than that. So, I mean, it's going to be a couple of big signings, basically.
We'll have some fresh players for the Christmas period. Then that'll be useful.
That'd be very useful. But Gabriel, do you think on the possession? Because I've kind of thought this, looking at some of the games we've lost and then seeing we've got quite high possession. Do you think it's just a case of a team saying, "Okay, let Sutton have the ball, let them have it, and they don't do anything with it"?
Well, at the beginning of the season, remember we had talked before about after the Salford game, we had Harry Beautyman in who brought a lot of quality, and I felt that the midfield is playing much better than last year. I don't know what to say now. I haven't looked at the possession statistics in the last couple of games. I don't feel like we are much more we had possession, for example, against Walsall because we were 11 versus 10. And
I think probably need to clarify a little bit. We're not talking about 70 or 80% possession, but we're over 50%, which we haven't been for a couple of seasons, I think.
Yeah, most games last season, we were lucky to get into 40s.
Yeah,
against most teams. and we played on the counter attack. We were quite happy to defend quite deep and soak the pressure up. But because we've got basically everybody apart from Lewis John injured in the central areas, we don't have the confidence in ourselves to be able to defend like that now. We're unable to play the way that we kind of think suits us, and we're also now unable to play the way that we were kind of trying to move towards anyway. We're just in a bit of a hole in that sense. Unless you just kind of rip everything up and start again. We've got now what, a week and a half till the next game, so maybe that's the thought process that actually you can kind of go back to the drawing board. Starting today, and say, okay, this is going to be a new way of approaching it. Even if you just say, well, this is what we're going to do up until Christmas, just get us through these games while we've still got players recovering and sort of just about to come back. And when those players are back, then you can say, okay, right, let's put that sort of emergency system out of the way and go back to working on what we'd ideally like to do, because then you've got the players that are capable of doing it. But I think, unfortunately, at the moment, we're kind of flogging the same players to death, and ultimately they're just knackered.
Well, this is a point I sort of said a little while. Is obviously the yellow card threat has gone now for a few months now. But players were kind of. They knew that if they stretched themselves too much, like for a long time, Rob couldn't do an awful lot stretch-wise because he wouldn't have Sam to play in defence. Craig can't necessarily play his normal game because there's no one to take over in midfield. I know that threat's slightly gone now, but Sam's obviously fit and able to play. But do you think maybe the players are A, knackered, and B, slightly holding back from their normal game because of the injuries?
Absolutely, yeah. And at least Craig has played, I think, every minute since a long while. So, yeah, he's actually at risk, and I don't want to think what would happen if he gets an injury now, because there's no one anymore to play there. I would like to point out also another fact that maybe wasn't mentioned. There was a major change this year. They allow five substitutions. And this goes very much against us. One thing is that I've noticed that Matt Gray wasn't a big fan of the substitutions even when we had something to put on the field. But now you cannot blame him at all, because you can see that the persons that are on the bench wouldn't bring something good. It was the game against Rochdale 3 days ago just, and he only made one substitution, though we were defending, we were under siege. And the theory says that the easiest to substitute is the striker, which was Kouassi, but you couldn't take him out because he came back in our area, he was defending, and you cannot bring a fresh player that can make a mistake or can, not understand what's going on. So while at Rochdale, you have seen that the game changed when they put around half an hour to go, they put that Rudny guy that totally changed the game.
Yeah.
Took their offense to another level.
Yeah, it's definitely going to suit teams. I mean, you look at players like, for example, Johnny Williams, and you wonder now how well is this five subs going to suit him, because it's going to extend his career, because he can just sit on the bench and come on the last 10 minutes to go or something, and when everyone's knackered.
But even at Sutton, I remember exactly one year ago when I couldn't wait for the last 15, 20 minutes when they put Bennett in instead of Bugil, and he changed the game. He started to create chances, and sometimes we won because of a late goal scored with Bennett, maybe assist from Bennett, maybe just because Bennett jumped and confused them, but still he made a difference when he came up.
Yeah, I mean, last season, the subs we were able to make up front were like for like, both in terms of the player style and also the quality level, I think. Bennett and Bugil were both similar levels for us, whereas I think Bugil and Kouassi offer slightly different things. I don't think you really want to play the two together unless you're kind of dialing back to sort of crazy gang Wimbledon of the 80s and literally sticking it in the mixer all the time. Because I don't think that's what we want to do. I think ideally we want to play a big guy and a smaller, faster one alongside. And we've seen that at the moment. I mean, Wilson's been okay, but he's been a little bit up and down, as he has been pretty much since we got promoted, really, at this level. But Kendall hasn't really done it. He had that first half against Tranmere where he looked really threatening. Up against, at the time, was a really stingy defence, and you thought, well, okay, well, he's got his eye in now. This is going to be a good option for us now going forwards. But I mean, he did nothing last night. Mm. There was nothing. I mean, yes, he's been given very little service, but even working with scraps when Wilson came on, there was just a marked difference between how much confidence everybody else had in putting the ball into his feet and things like that. Mm. So we just lack the options off the bench. I mean, as you say, five subs from seven named is ridiculous. There's no way that should have come in. Mm. Absolute nonsense. And all it does is it favours the bigger sides who have got bigger budgets and therefore deeper squads. It means that they can quite happily have a squad of 25 fully paid pros because they can guarantee that most of them are going to get opportunities through the season. Whereas if you're only making three subs, then you're having to cut back a little bit and be a little bit more selective. It's now a different thing for Matt to have to juggle. If anything, it's giving him sort of too many options. Mm-hmm. An embarrassment of not very riches.
It's not very nice. But
I meant financially more than anything.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, it also helps those bigger clubs for the future as well, because some of their younger players will get those more minutes, because if there's a game where they're thinking, okay, actually we've got this now, they can then blood those youngsters a little bit earlier and give them the minutes and experience that we're having to do it, I suppose, because we've got no one else. Yeah. But we won't be able to put them on the bench to intend to play them, because we're never going to be like two or three goals up in any game this season, I don't think. Matt is still very positive. I missed you about something completely different, and I was like, I really hope you're staying motivated and getting some downtime. And he was like, yeah, I'm more motivated than ever. I was like, okay, all right then. There's two more little things to do with the Wimbledon match, so I'm going to come back to you in a second for a couple of nominations for players of the day. Thankfully, there's only two of you on, so I don't need to do it this week, so yay. So I'll come back to you with two names each. Be one sec. Now watch me do my dance. I'm the... Right, who wants to do the easy one and go first?
Shotgun.
Go on.
I mean, to be honest, the only player who looked a threat in an attacking sense was Will Randall. And he kind of has been for most of the season when he's been fit and available. I mean, he's kind of been the one player who, I think, who we can probably say has stepped up this season. Mm-hmm. From the level that he was showing last year, because last year you'd maybe get sort of you'd get one good performance in six or seven games maybe. and then he'd be drifting in and out of the side. And but we had different options last year.
Yeah.
This year you're getting good performances on a much more consistent basis. He's given you a solid, probably 7 out of 10 at least every week. Mm-hmm. And he's chipping in with goals.
Yes.
Which, given that nobody else seems to fancy scoring this season.
He's top been scorer
quite,
now.
Quite useful. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, with his corner. I think he's top scorer with 4. Gabriel, who's your first name?
So that's an easy call for me again, Eastmond, because he's having his work ethics that is always there and he always gives 100%, and also that he had the biggest chance of the game. Now, it wasn't his ball that was deflected by Wilson.
Was it him? Yeah, I think it was him.
I think it was him, yeah. This is how I recall it.
Yeah, it was his header from the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, your second name.
It suddenly gets a lot harder. I'm actually going to nominate someone who didn't actually play very much, but did actually change the impetus for us, and that was Donovan Wilson. Okay. The ball was sticking up front a lot better once he was on. He's not a tall lad, but he's learned over the last 18 months or so how to play that back-to-goal striker role really mm-hmm. well, I think. He's very good at backing into defenders, making sure that they can't get around him. So even when the ball's in the air, they're not going to be able to win a header because if they do, they're going to have to go through him, and that would mean giving away a cheap free kick. So he's learned that, brought that to his game really well in the last season or so. Just makes a huge difference for us.
Perfect. And Gabriel, your last name.
I would go for Lovat because he played consistently. He wasn't expecting to play at all. He was brought to play a few minutes in this team, and he has been consistently playing 90 minutes in the last 5 or 6 games at least. And he plays good. He made a lot of progress. I saw him dribble against Rochdale. I saw him take shots sometimes. I think he has the potential to become a very good midfielder. On the other hand, as you said, that Ali and Harry are coming in a few weeks. He also has the potential to sit on the bench for the next couple of months again and wait for his chance. But he did his job so far.
Yeah, I think we actually spoke about this at one of the games, didn't we, Steve, a couple of weeks ago or months ago now. He's one of those that he's never done anything wrong. You've never seen him in the team and gone, oh, what's he doing?
Yeah.
But because of who's coming back, you're like, yeah, he's going to end up dropping to the bin. I think he might stay for Craig to have a little rest at some point when he gets his yellow card suspension or his birthday suspension. I thought it was good. I'm going to give a little mention to Hart. I thought he played well. Not sure whether that's just because he caught my eye because he's not normally there. And so I was like, oh, what's he doing there? But I thought he played well, and he seems to link up with Will quite well. So, but the 4 I'll be putting up will be Will, Donovan, and I'll spell his name right this time, Craig and Adam. And everyone can have a little vote there. Right, so for the last time, because we now bow out of the Pizza Cup, so it's the last time for the Pizza Cup song, Say Goodbye.
Master, default damager, power to the people, back once again for the Pizza Cup. Master, default damager, the ill behavior, back once again for the Pizza Cup. Master, default damager, power to the people, back once again for the Pizza Cup. Master.
And I'm sure there's ones of people going, thank God for that, there's no more of the Pizza Cup Master.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Sutton United Talk Time on podcast, the Sutton Podcast. If you are new to the show, hello, and you are very welcome. Hope you enjoy what we do. It's a very simple format. We get a few people on to talk about the game that's just gone, and then we preview the next game coming up. We are available on most podcast platforms where you can listen, rate and review. If you find that we're not on your preferred platform, please let me know and I'll sort that for you. If anyone would like to support the podcast, you can find out how with more information on the website, which is www.suttonpodcast.com. And there's a tab where you can find out how to be a guest as well. Please find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok with the username @SuttonPodcast. Every like, follow and share is really appreciated. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Thank you.
We do have a little break, and obviously because of that little break and my head is all over the place, I actually didn't arrange an opposition fan to come on because our next game is just so far away. So it's Carlisle in a couple of weeks. Any early thoughts on that game?
Well, they've come into a bit of form, haven't they? They went to Salford and stuck four past them.
Every team comes into form just before they play.
Yeah, so that's concerning, given our abject away record this season. But I think ultimately you now look at that game as kind of a bit of a free hit. It's not going to be highly unlikely to be the same. Go the same way as it did last season, where we went up there and we just bullied them. 2-0 massively flattered them, and they looked like a team that were banging trouble at that point. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that from their perspective, they might take one look at us if we put in the sort of performance we've been putting in away from home for a lot of this season, then basically they're going to think, well, roles have suddenly reversed this season, because they've been at it certainly the last 5-6 weeks or so. They've been in very good form, it'd be fair to say that we haven't really.
Yeah, it's a bit stuttery, Gabriel.
So let's remember that before the 2-0 at Carlisle, we had also a 4-0 here at Gander Green Lane. So they have some revenge to do also, as Wimbledon had. Also, what is interesting is that they still have on the bench, mainly on the bench, but he came and I think he scored also once, Tobisho Silva, our mm-hmm. former player, which I am surprised that holds on so well at this level. At the team that fights for the top positions.
Yeah, no, he went there. He did quite well straight away.
He got about a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, he got three or four goals in the first few games, I think. Which,
but then he was dropped from the first 11.
Yeah.
Always sort of gets you in the fans' good books if you get an early goal. I think you got a last minute equaliser or last minute winner in one of the games.
I think there was a couple like they got last minute goals because it was at the same time we were scoring a lot of last minute goals as well. Do you remember those good old days when we were scoring last minute goals?
Back in the day where we could actually play beyond 80 minutes.
Yeah, and it seemed like he took that to Carlisle as well, so it seemed quite fine at that time. But yeah, just gonna mention there was a nice little rumour on a Twitter account earlier on that we're interested in a Barnett striker, but that wasn't the bit that was interesting to me. It was the fact that this account was claiming that because Sutton were flashing their eyelashes at a player, that the player was might go on strike to force a move to Sutton, which is just A, bizarre, and B, I think you said just before we started, Steve, that's not exactly the kind of player who's going to fit in at Sutton if he's threatening to go on strikes because he doesn't get his way.
Yeah, I mean that sort of attitude is definitely going to go down well with Matt and the rest of the squad.
You can just imagine a couple of the players looking and going, that's not happening around here. No. Thank you very much.
The guy's like 30, isn't he? I think
he's 29.
Been around a while.
His record this year is good because I had a look and first thing that popped up.
They've been all right this year, haven't they, Barnett?
Yeah, I think it's something like 10 goals in 14 games. And I was like, oh blimey, no wonder we're interested.
Well, but come to the striker's graveyard that is Gander Green Lane.
Yeah, but then you look back and it's like, actually, his record isn't that good outside of this season. As you say, the striker's graveyard. It just made me laugh that apparently we're so big now that we can get linked with players going on strike to force a move to Sutton. But that is it, gents. There's not much more to say. We can repeat some of these episodes and people won't really notice that what we're doing. It's a struggle this season. It's a slog. I keep saying it, and I sort of said it last week and the week before. If the luck evens itself out over a season, we are going to be in for a fantastic second half of the season, because we have had really bad luck with injuries. And I know it's not what people want to hear or anything, but you can't lose this many top players from any team without having thousands and thousands of pounds worth of talent on the bench, which we don't. And who could foresee that, was it four centre-backs at one stage out injured three midfielders? So it's ridiculous. But thank you for your time. Thank everyone for listening. And hopefully I'll be back with something on Saturday. Or Sunday. Can't remember what I've got planned, but it might be something planned. It might not. Who knows? But if not, I will be seeing you after the Carlisle match.
A couple of quick things I forgot to do during the chat earlier. Tried to avoid doing these recently after the potty mouth incident from a few weeks ago, but we'll give it a go and see if I can keep it clean and PG. The weekend, no game, obviously, but the youth team, or the academy team, sorry, have a match at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And the ladies team are at home at long last on Sunday with a 2 o'clock kickoff. Added bonus, if you get there early, you'll get to see me on the pitch trying to mess around with the goals and other such stuff, making a fool of myself, I'm sure, and getting it all horribly wrong and have to be rescued by someone. Also, don't forget, like I forgot earlier, the fans forum, which is on Wednesday the 7th. Ed and Claire will be on hand to hear all your match day experience feedback and help us make improvements. Thank you to my guests, thanks to everyone for listening, and I'll see you soon. Bye bye. United! 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 United!